everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour and Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally 7 days a week here in the United States and in more than 75 countries worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. It's georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on poison in our food supply right after this. Well, 3,300 years ago, Moses instructed our fathers. He said, "You shall not have in your bag diverse weights of great and of small. You shall not have in your house diverse measures of great and of small, but you shall have a perfect and a just weight. A perfect and a just measure shall you have." Well, our founding fathers at the Constitutional Convention in 1787 followed this scriptural principle when they put, "No state shall make anything but gold or silver coin a tender in payment of debts," into our Constitution at Article 1, Section 10. But in 1933, President Roosevelt took our gold away, and in 1964, President Johnson took silver coin out of circulation, and in place of just weights and balances, these two presidents introduced our current practice of the first, second, and fifth planks of the Communist Manifesto into our monetary system. They gave us Federal Reserve notes in place of gold-backed treasury bills and clad coinage in place of silver coins. Now, in the intervening 70 years, we Americans have gone from being the world's number one creditor nation until today we're the world's number one debtor nation. Now, who do you think were the better financial planners for our nation, Moses and our founding fathers, or Franklin D. Roosevelt and Lyndon Baines Johnson? Now, if you'd like to learn more about hard money and how to use it properly, it's another of the many lessons in my business school conducted here twice a year at the law school. If you'd like to learn more, why don't you call and order my free general law CD package? That's a 4-hour commentary on the law in general. It's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free of charge, and you can call and order yours right now. The number 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the business school is also available on compact disc for adult home study. If you're online, you can go to the website, georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine and send an email request for your free general law CD package there. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, or call direct 417-273-4967. All right, last time we were talking about the corporate corruption of the organics market. The organic market only comprises about 2% of the food that we consume here in the United States. I don't know what it is in other foreign countries, you know, such as Canada, Australia, New Zealand, Western Europe, and so on. I suppose that it's bigger in Europe because the Europeans are more concerned about food than we Americans are. I would say that we're probably at the bottom of the heap here in America, but it comprises 2%. And the annual food sales in the United States are around $200 billion, or that number I saw bandied about someplace. You know, 2% of $2 billion is about $4 billion a year in annual sales. And the big multinational corporations, you know, like General Mills and Pillsbury and Armour Star and Kroger and others, you know, they're not deaf, dumb, and blind. You know, they can see a trend. The trend is my friend, as we say in economics, and they can see that the 20% growth per year, that's a phenomenal growth rate, 20% growth. Half the people of America have either bought organic food or use or buy organic food or are not opposed to organic food. They're potential customers. Now, you take a look at 20% a year, you know, in 30 or 35 years, 50 years outside, at that growth rate, we would be back to eating all organic food here in the United States, which is a good trend. And we'll probably see a whole lot less sickness and disease, and primarily people are interested in organic, clean, healthful, nutritious food because they're concerned about health and health related issues. Now, last time we were talking about the big multinational corporations, you know, ExxonMobil, Walmart, Energy Nuclear, Lockheed Martin, Waste Management, Pfizer, Merck, Bank of America, Citigroup. You know, these are big multinational corporations. They're buying into organic. And my fear, my concern is that the people who run these multinational corporations don't care about the organic label. And already they have begun to water it down. They went to Congress and they said, look, what if organic contains 95% organic and 5% GMO, 5% inorganic, 5% something else? So Congress said, well, that sounds all right to us. So if it's 95% organic, you can call it organic. That reminds me of the honey market. You see, when you go into a store and you look at a bottle of Sioux Bee honey, it says right on the bottle, pure Sioux Bee honey. What does that say to you? Well, to my mind, that says that's 100% pure honey. Oh, not so. The legislatures of the various states, I think all of the states, but I know of various states, have legislated, and the law really reads like this. If the honey in that bottle contains 51% honey and 49% corn syrup, you can label it pure honey. I'm not joshing you here. Pure honey can be up to 49% corn syrup. Now, that's not pure honey to my mind, but, you know, the legislature makes the law. Now, there's a loophole that you can drive a Mack truck through. You would normally suspect, you would believe, that if it says pure honey, that it's 100%. Well, the word pure does not mean 100%. What that means is that the 51% that is the honey in the jar, that is pure honey. But it doesn't have to be 100% honey to be labeled pure honey. And that's what they're doing to organics. When we see the word organic, to my mind, it says no chemicals, no pesticides, no GMOs. This is pure, good food. No, it's 95% organic and 5% inorganic. I told you about Kent Hovind the other day. He's a pretty cute guy, you know, Hovind. And he said, when you buy rat poison, it's 99.95% or 99.5 or something like that. It's almost 100%, but not quite. About one half of 1% is poison. 99.5% of it's pure. And that's the way I see it. You know, when I go into a restaurant, I don't want bacon in my string beans. And so I ask, are these string beans cooked with pork? And they'll say, well, yes or no. Okay, well, if they say no, then I expect my string beans to be 100% string beans with no pig. If I wanted pig, I'd order it. If I wanted shark, I'd order it. You know, if I wanted lobster, I'd order it. And I really resent it when you put lobster in my sardines, or when you put poison of any kind or some other foreign product or substance into my beans. You know, when I walk into a store and I pick up a can and it says pork and beans, that's what I want it to say. Then I can put the can down. I don't want to buy beans with pork in it. And I'm sure that the rest of you know, when you pick up something, you buy something, you don't want red beetles ground up in your yogurt and ice cream. Or, put another way, I would appreciate it if they just put ground up red beetles are in this cherry flavored ice cream. And then I could leave that cherry flavored ice cream alone and buy pineapple or something else. You know, if I'm in the store, I'm probably going to buy ice cream of some kind, but I'm not going to buy anything that's got red dye in it, especially strawberry, cherry. I might buy pineapple or chocolate or something else. I want to know what's in it. And I'm not sure that the multinational corporations are telling us. In September, Heinz, that is the H.J. Heinz Company, bought a 19 and a 0.5% stake in the Hain Food Company for nearly $100 million. Hain, the leading producer of natural foods in this country, with annual sales of over $200 million in 1999, acquired the Earth's Best baby food brand in the deal. Well, by gaining entry into the natural and organic foods arena, Heinz may be in the initial stages of reinventing itself. And it better, because most of its businesses, including its profitable ketchup franchise, are very slow growth businesses. Heinz itself is owned by some mutual funds that own Hain, and its prime stockholders include the same multinationals. Now, Cascadia Farms and Muir Glen are owned by Small Planet Foods, which is owned by General Mills, whose principal investors are Philip Morris, ExxonMobil, General Electric, Chevron, Nike, McDonald's, Target Stores, Starbucks, Monsanto, DuPont, Dow Chemical, PepsiCo, Alcoa Aluminum, Disney, Texas Instruments, and one of George Bush's top contributors, the Pfizer Company. Now, these multinational corporations are the mainstream businesses of America. You know, the S&P 500, the Dow Jones Industrial Average companies. And I'm not sure that they're ideologues. I'm not sure that they really care or that they're really concerned about is the product that we're making here 100% pure. I mentioned that the last time. You know, these companies were started by long-haired hippies, vegetarians, and other food nuts who were ideologues and really believed in vegetarianism, or they believed in pure food or organic food, etc. And now these companies, which produced these pure foods that we wanted to buy and are buying at the rate of 20% increase per year, are being taken over by the multinational corporations like McDonald's. What does McDonald's care about organic? That's my concern. General Mills also being boycotted for animal rights abuse. Now notice the political comments in the article here. What does animal rights abuse have to do with clean food or poison in our food? Nothing. Nothing at all. But the article here, this guy that wrote the article, let's go back here to the author. His name is Paul Glover, G-L-O-V-E-R. Evidently is concerned with the political content or the political bent of these companies. I really couldn't care less. But General Mills is also being boycotted for animal rights abuse. Stoned Wheat Thins is made with GMOs and is owned by Nabisco. Now, that's a concern to me. You know, if I went into a health food store and I bought a product, and it's called Stoned Wheat Thins, and I'm in a health food store which tells me that there's no GMOs here and the food is organic and it's all clean, and then I find out that Stoned Wheat Thins is made with GMOs and is owned by Nabisco. Now, you see where the pollution of our food supply comes in? Nabisco, a mainline Fortune 500 company. You know, they go out and they buy genetically modified corn and they make products, you know, with this corn. Then they go out and they buy a company such as Stoned Wheat Thins, and then they just use a little bit of GMOs in it. I don't want to buy Stoned Wheat Thins. I don't want to buy from Nabisco. If I wanted to buy Nabisco, I would go down to Kroger's. I'd go to Safeway or Albertsons and go buy Nabisco. I stay away from that because I don't want to buy, I don't want to eat, I don't want to consume these GMOs. Now I find out that Nabisco bought out the little company, and now they're putting the GMOs into what I thought was clean food. Now remember, Nabisco, which has been bought by Philip Morris, which also owns Kraft, General Foods, Philip Morris, boycott, and in fact, and Nabisco Labor and Nabisco News and Pension Funds and other. Odwilla Juice is owned by Coca-Cola, part of the Minute Maid unit. Coca-Cola prohibits unionizing. Again, you know, so what? I'm not concerned about unions. I'm not concerned about labor relations in Guatemala. I'm concerned about clean food. But notice here, Coca-Cola, you know, that's another Fortune 500 company. And Coca-Cola puts out a product that isn't fit for man or beast. I wouldn't feed Coca-Cola to my dog. But, you know, there you are. Part of the Minute Maid unit. All right, now, Minute Maid orange juice. You know, there's nothing about Minute Maid orange juice that would say that it's organic. You know, it's just grown with chemical fertilizers and pesticides, and they grow a lot of oranges in Florida, and they squeeze them, and they make Minute Maid orange juice. Now, what if I'm buying orange juice out of a Wild Oats store, and I'm presuming that in the Wild Oats store or the health food store, that the owner of the health food store is going to Payne's and that he's working hard for me and that he's going to make sure that the orange juice that he puts in there for me is either fresh squeezed or it's organically grown or it's no chemicals or pesticides and there's no GMOs in it. Coca-Cola. Now, Washington, November 19th, PR Newswire, Edgar Pez, P-A-E-Z, of the Colombian Trade Union, was joined on Monday by Teamsters representatives, the AFL-CIO members of the clergy, civil rights activists, and political leaders, as he described the brutal torture, kidnapping, and murder of union workers in his country, particularly those working at Coca-Cola bottling facilities. Well, you can discount that political diatribe there. The group assembled for a peace vigil in front of the World Coca-Cola Museum in Atlanta, Georgia. My brothers and sisters in Colombia have suffered unspeakable horrors because they belong to a trade union. We stand united with American workers to demand that Coca-Cola stop the violence. Coca-Cola paid $192 million to settle a U.S. racial discrimination lawsuit in 2000. Fresh Samantha, a main juice brand that merged with Odwalla in May of 2000, has already begun reducing its fresh fruit content by boosting the water content. Now, that's a way to make juices cheaper and longer lasting, according to Bill Sipper, marketing vice president of the Ultimate Juice Company. All right, now there's some more pollution coming in. Discount the political diatribe, and let's concentrate on what happens when you go and you buy juice. You know, I would like to be able to walk in, like I do to the Wild Oats store, sit down at the juice bar, and say, "Hey, make me up a fresh squeezed carrot juice, 16-ounce size, and put in some wheatgrass." And they take the carrots and they squeeze them right in front of you. I mean, they juice them right in front of you. Take the wheatgrass and cut it with the scissors and run it through the thingy and dump it in there. Now, that's what we like to think of in terms of, hey, we're getting the real stuff. We presume that the carrots have been grown organically, don't we? We hope they are. I'm not really sure that the Coca-Cola company would care if the carrots that they're using in the Wild Oats store. Can you imagine Coca-Cola buying out Wild Oats? Then you walk into the Wild Oats store, and how do you know that the carrots are being grown organically or that the wheatgrass is being grown organically? You know, certain things we presume. Again, the bigger these companies get, the more money that's involved. You can just about bet Coca-Cola is not going to buy out my neighbor up here who's producing $5, $10, $15, $20,000 a year worth of produce. But when you get into a business that's producing a million, 5 million, 10, 20, 50, or, you know, 200 million like this Hain Group, 200 million a year, yeah, they buy those out. And then they pervert them. They pollute the products that they're turning out. And you can see that here in this report. Boca Burgers is owned by Kraft Foods, which is owned by Philip Morris. Hardy and Natural Veggie Burgers is owned by Sunrich Food Group, which is owned by Steak Technologies, which is owned principally by Gruber and McBain Capital Management, whose principal investors are Boeing, Lockheed Martin, Polymedica, whose principal investor is Safeco, whose principal investors are ExxonMobil, General Electric, and Citigroup. Not exactly the kind of kids that we want to be associating with, wouldn't you say? Now, Morningstar Farms, that's Kellogg's, Morningstar Farms, Kellogg's, has been contaminated by Starlink GM corn. Silk soy drink is owned by White Wave, which is owned by Dean Foods, whose main shareholders are Microsoft, GE, Philip Morris, Citigroup, Pfizer, ExxonMobil, Coca-Cola, Walmart, PepsiCo, and Home Depot. Not exactly the kind of kids that you'd want to invite home to introduce to mother. Stonyfield Farm, they produce yogurt, is not yet dominated by the multinationals, but has partnered with GAIAM, whose major stockholders include IBM, Exxon, Citigroup, Johnson & Johnson, Walmart, and will be owned by Danone by 2004, which has been, like Nestle, breaking code on baby milk for third world countries. And Danone is publicly traded, DA, and has trace ownership by Citigroup, GE, Walmart, and Exxon. Garden Burger is getting on the corporate gravy train, with 20% of its stock owned by such companies as Pfizer, Walmart, Microsoft, Citigroup, American Express, Gillette, Exxon, and among their brokers is Patman Foods, a major factory farm meatpacker. Arrowhead Water and Poland Spring Water are owned by the Nestle Company, which is being boycotted because its breast milk substitute causes the deaths of millions of babies. Nestle Boycott and Breastfeeding.com and Baby Milk Action. These babies are twins. See the photo. Their Pakistani mother was wrongly advised that she would not have enough breast milk to feed both, and so bottle-fed her daughter while breastfeeding her son. The girl died the day after this photo was taken in Islamabad Children's Hospital. "Use my picture," said the mother, "if it'll help others not to make the same mistake." Well, they got a good point here. I don't know why it is that Americans especially believe that we can make milk, canned milk, that's equal to breast milk. But we believe that in this country. Now, there's been a movement back toward breastfeeding in the United States, but for 50 years that I know of, the big move was from breastfeeding to bottle feeding. And, of course, there's a lot of attendant disease that goes with it. Seeds of Change, that's an organic company. Seeds of Change is now owned by M&M Mars Candy. Women are from Venus. Seeds are from Mars. Earlier this year, Seeds of Change, an idealistic company formed in the 1980s to preserve and spread a diversity of organic seeds through the gritty, caring hands of backyard gardeners, was bought out by M&M Mars Incorporated. That's a big candy company in the United States. As Seeds of Change Vice President Steve French explained to the incredulous editors at Food and Water magazine, "I don't think there are any real differences between Seeds of Change and Mars. Whether it's a Mars product or it's a Seeds of Change product, the product benefits are very, very similar if we're talking about nutrition here." Earth Island Journal, Fall 98. Impact on organic standards and supply. Some have said they welcome major corporate investment in the natural food market as vindication of the value of natural foods. Now, did you hear that statement? I mean, talk about insanity. Seeds of Change Vice President Steve French explained to the incredulous editors at Food and Water magazine, I could imagine this. I don't think that there are any real differences between Seeds of Change and Mars. Boys and girls, if you can't see the difference between organic, open-pollinated seeds and a Mars candy bar, you've got to be from Mars. You can't be from this planet. There isn't any similarity here. They're not even close. It's like traveling east to get west. It's in opposite directions. And that's why I said earlier, you see, these company vice presidents that are installed are political in nature. Corporations are political entities. And these corporations are created for the purposes of making money. I mean, that's what they're established for. They're money machines. So a kid is born in Boston. He goes to college at Harvard. He gets his MBE. He goes out into the corporate world, and he becomes the vice president of Seeds of Change. And he says, gee, we were just merged with Mars or General Motors or somebody else. I really don't see any difference. What's the problem here? It's because this guy hasn't got a clue as to what organic is all about. Not a clue. And as a result of that, his decisions are going to be something totally different than the fellow who created Seeds of Change. You know, the long-haired hippie with the earring in his ear? You know, who's smoking a joint and living life? I mean, that guy is a vegetarian. That guy is serious about organics. You know, this guy that took over from Mars, he couldn't care less. Which is another reason why you should know what you're buying. Now, probably because the FDA and some government oversight and regulation is involved. After all, 95% organic is still far ahead of conventional farming. But hey, listen, we had 100% organic here before it was taken over by General Mills and General Electric and ExxonMobil. We had 100%. So we're not getting better. We're not getting better food, and we're not advancing. We're going backwards. We are degenerating. We are losing ground. This is not good. So I'm not going to change this corporate structure. I'm not going to change the fact that these companies are being bought out by the multinationals, but I won't buy these brand names anymore. Now, I don't care what you do. That's your business in life. The purpose of the Law Hour and editorial review isn't to come in here and tell you how to live your life. I mean, you're an adult. You're smart enough to figure out what you want to do in life. I'm simply here as a commentator, a reporter, telling you, did you know that this is what's going on? Just because this thing says organic on here doesn't mean that it's 100% organic. It means it's 95% organic. 5 years ago, it meant it was 100% organic. Today, we're not really sure. And as these multinational corporations go into the legislatures, they will. And as I've demonstrated and shown you in the past, the reason that they're opposed to COOL is because they don't want you to know where this meat's coming from. The reason that these multinational corporations are opposed to these labeling practices is because they don't want you to know what's in here. The reason that they're opposed to letting you know that this dye is made from ground-up red beetles from the Canary Islands is because if you knew that, you probably wouldn't buy this product. So that's why we don't want to put it on the label. It's dishonest. And the people who are running these companies come from the Harvard Business School or from the Yale Business School or from some academia, some college, and they're dishonest. And that's because they're amoral at best and immoral at worst. These people are absolutely immoral or amoral. They are not moral people who are concerned about telling you the truth. Now, the hippies may have been, you know, the organizers, the original inventors of these concepts of organic and clean foods and so on. Those people had a mission in life. They were trying to change the world. They had a motive. And then, of course, they get bought out. And you can't blame the guy. I mean, the guy that created Cascadia Farms or the fellow that created the Haynes Food Group or these various and sundry trade names of organic products, when they sell out I mean, I wouldn't blame them for selling. You know, money's money, and profit's profit, and business is business. I just think that all the rest of us ought to be aware of the fact that ExxonMobil and General Mills and General Electric and these various other multinational corporations that don't give a rat's ass about organic food are now in control of these companies. And I don't think they give a rat's rectum about you or your health either. So you might want to be concerned about these brands. If I had to choose between conventional and Cascadia Farms at 95%, I would buy the Cascadia Farms. But if I have a choice between Cascadia Farms and 100% organic, I'm going to buy the 100% organic, and to hell with Cascadia Farms and General Electric and General Mills and Citicorp and Bank of America and ExxonMobil. Now we got bottled water here. And we should also be concerned, however, before we get to the bottled water, I got one more paragraph here. We should also be concerned, however, that control of the natural foods industry by fewer companies will result in multinational corporate control of organic acreage and of organic marketing, forcing out the smaller regional family suppliers, reducing competition, leading to weakened organic standards, sewage sludge, irradiation, GMOs, and we have already seen the political effects of media integration. Now, once there were thousands of independent radio stations and daily newspapers. Today, there are simply a few of these institutions in the hands of TV works and newspaper chains owned by these same corporations. As well, payments by Green Star shoppers to these companies reinforce corporate control of other markets and of lobbying, where they do great damage. Now, if we don't pay attention to the politics of health, of the health food industry, then we will shortly not have organics. Milo McTavish, manager of Whole Foods Co-op in Norfolk, Virginia, for additional corporate link updates, see also vegan buyout, health impacts, Green Star's mission statement emphasizing the sale of nutritious food in as natural a state as possible. All right, now some of this is political, some of it is food, and you can decide for yourself. Remember, this report comes from www.organicconsumers.org. So if you would click on to the net, you could get this report yourself. Again, that's called www.organicconsumers.org. Now, that's all one word. Yeah, I got to give you a reminder, and we'll pick up bottled water right after this brief message. You're listening to the Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. For more information about the Law School and the Law Hour, please go to our website. It's georgegordon.org. Remember, the Law Hour is heard 7 days a week in the United States and worldwide over the Internet. The law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that's open to individuals but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly and has our radio log schedule and archives, and it can be accessed through the website at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. And the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. Remember, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. To order yours, please call the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief based upon our own independent research. The Law Hour and editorial review gives credit to the authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and we recommend books, periodicals, papers, and newsletters to our listeners. However, these endorsements or recommendations that we give do not mean that the authors or publications that we endorse or recommend are necessarily going to endorse or recommend the Law Hour or Editorial Review. And that's because most of the authors and publications cited on the Law Hour are political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint is not necessarily endorsed by the Law Hour and Editorial Review either. And then the opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine and mine alone. They do not necessarily represent the beliefs and opinions of the advertiser, or of the sponsors, or of the management, or of the staff of this network or local radio station. So for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please go to our website, again, it's georgegordon.org, or call the Law School Direct at 417-273-4967. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call the Law School Direct, 417-273-4967. Let's take a look at bottled water. Evian, E-V-I-A-N, Evian, is naive, spelled backwards. Most bottled water is nothing more than tap water in a bottle. New York State Department of Consumer Affairs. Now that's kind of a shocker, isn't it? You know, you go into a store and you buy a bottle of water and you pay a dollar for it. How you could buy a Coca-Cola for 75 cents and you pay a buck for a bottle of water and find out that it came out of the tap. How you could have gone into the men's room and filled your coffee cup out of the tap and walked out the door free. So keep in mind that just because you're buying bottled water doesn't mean that the bottled water is any different than the water coming out of the tap. Bottled water, pure drink, or pure hype. FDA rules for bottled water are generally less strict than tap water rules. Did you get that? The FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, rules for tap water are stricter than the rules that cover the bottled water that you're paying good money for. Every year, 1.5 million tons of plastic are used to bottle water and toxic chemicals, and these toxic chemicals can be released during the manufacture and disposal of the bottles. Now, bottled water may be no safer, and it may be no healthier than tap water in many countries, while selling for up to 1,000 times the price. And if you're concerned about the quality of your drinking water and you regularly buy bottled water, you should invest in a water filter. The production, packaging, and transportation of bottled water uses an enormous amount of resources. Water filters are economical when compared to bottled water and much kinder to the earth. Categories of bottled water: breast cancer and plastic bottles, increasing drinking water protection in New York State, and the legislation requires the Water Resources Institute to prepare and disseminate information regarding cryptoporidium in those individuals who are more susceptible to illness caused by exposure to the cryptosporidium. Cryptosporidium is a waterborne pathogen which may cause death to individuals with compromised immune systems and may cause illness to healthy individuals. It may be transmitted through bottled water as well as by way of regular tap water. Consumers of bottled water will be better informed about the dangers of a variety of waterborne pathogens through the enhanced labeling program set forth in this legislation. This bill passed by the Assembly but died in the Senate. Natural flavors may include aspartame, a potent carcinogen. Since it was granted blanket FDA approval, it's mixed with sugar and other sweeteners. That's something to watch out for. Just because aspartame is normally listed on the label, it's got other names that it goes by, like NutraSweet and Spoonful. And manufacturers are now using this aspartame, this artificial sweetener, because it's cheaper than sugar. Cheaper than sugar. So let's suppose you're a manufacturer and you're making candy. And this candy takes 50% sugar and 50% other ingredients. And you say to yourself, well, gee, Instead of using sugar in my candy, let me use half sugar and half aspartame. How do you like that? You know, most of us don't eat candy anyway because of the sugar content, and we know that sugar is a poison. Don't we? White refined sugar, poison. Don't eat it. Well, if I had my druthers, I would eat white CNH pure cane sugar before I would eat aspartame. Aspartame is a deadlier poison than the white sugar. Now, those of us that are kind of purists and health food nuts, we avoid both, but, you know, once in a while you're going to eat a candy bar. Well, keep in mind that that candy bar that you might be tempted to eat because it's got sugar in it may be half aspartame as well. So tuck that one away in your heart. That many food products are now using artificial sweetener in place of the sugar. And while most of us are aware that this aspartame is worse than the sugar, keep in mind that you may be eating the aspartame anyway under some other buzzword or some other name. Now, since it was granted blanket FDA approval, it's mixed with sugar and other sweeteners, unlabeled. It's unlabeled, boys and girls, and mixed in artificial and natural flavors. So when they put sugar in and they put in half aspartame, they don't have to label it and tell you that we put in the aspartame. They just tell you we put in the sugar. Now, unlabeled and mixed in flavors and natural flavors, citation more and more, and see also flavors, natural flavorings, and celestial seasonings contain free glutamic acid, the bad part of MSG. See also www.truthandlending.org. I already read you that one. And then Tom's of Maine toothpaste contains sodium lauryl sulfate, SLS, a known mutagen. See also sodium lauryl sulfate and sodium laureth sulfate, harmful if swallowed. That's called Tom's toothpaste. Green Star is prohibited from selling products containing refined sugar. Well, God bless them. I mean, if you're not selling any products with refined sugar in it, well, good for you. Brown sugar consists primarily of refined white sugar coated with a fine molasses film. Milk hazards to health and environment and not milk. So keep in mind, brown sugar doesn't help you any. All you're doing is just, you're eating white sugar with molasses on it. Tell you what we do here. Now, I prefer honey. Now, that honey has an enzyme in it. When God designed this honey, he didn't design something that was pretty poor in quality. So it has an enzyme. Make sure that the guy that you're buying the honey from isn't heating the honey and running it through a filter. They like to do that to get all of the color out of it so that they can sell that pure sous vide honey. And that's because Mary Housewife prefers that amber-colored honey. Most honey, most natural honey is black. I mean, let's just be honest. It's just black. And some of it's as black as coal tar. I mean, it looks like molasses. Now, it's got various tastes. Like eucalyptus honey is not quite black, but almost. And all dregs are black. So, in the old days, I used to be in the beekeeping business. And so we would skim off all of the, and then filter out, you know, all the wings and legs and all the rest of the good stuff. We filter that out. Well, it runs through the filter better if it's at 160 degrees than it is if it's at 100. But when you run it through at 160, it goes through about like water. When you run it through at 100, it goes through about like, syrup. It takes a lot longer. Now, when you heat this honey above 132 degrees, it kills the enzymes in it. Well, when the enzymes are gone, then this stuff is an industrial product, you know, like industrial solvent. It's not worth eating. So make sure that your local honey supplier is extracting the honey and keeping the temperature below 132, which isn't hard to do unless he's heating it and filtering it. And then use honey on your cereal. Use honey as a natural flavoring. That's the way God designed it. You cannot overdose on honey. You'll puke first. If you want to test it, just start eating honey until you puke and see how much you can take. Then start eating CNH, pure white cane sugar from Hawaii. I don't think you can overdose on the stuff. I mean, you can just eat the stuff until it eats your pancreas out and you turn purely diabetic. You'll never puke. So tuck that one away in your heart. According to the new FDA rule, this means no genetically modified foods. Now, the Wall Street Journal decided to challenge GMO-free labeling by testing 20 products labeling that claim. One product tested showed 40% of the soybean DNA in a veggie bacon came from genetically modified plants. Soyinfo.com, 10 reasons why GMOs will not ensure food security. And to say that the cosmetics industry is very poorly regulated is an understatement. The FDA can make suggestions or recommendations to the manufacturers about cosmetic products or their ingredients, but the manufacturers do not have to comply. Most products are labeled to sell rather than to provide accurate information about the product. Terms like natural and hypoallergenic do not have official definitions, so the manufacturers can use them to mean anything that they want them to mean. So when you're buying cosmetics, boys and girls, and it says natural, it can mean anything that the manufacturer or the Wall Street ad man wants it to mean. Hypoallergenic has no official definition. It just means whatever you believe it to mean. Petroguard contains ocean fish, which may include unregulated, non-dolphin-safe tuna catch. Animal Protection Institute and Pet Food Ingredients and More Yuck Food Additives is book describing harmful ingredients in health foods. While not all vegetable protein products are 100% organic, most of them sport the label made with organic soy. Okay, now watch out for that. Let's suppose that I've got a product and it's got 10 products in it. Maybe I've got some ground red beetles in it. So in the label, I put on there, made from 100% pure organic natural soybeans. And then I go on to tell you the rest of the products that are in here. And I can tell you that there's lecithin in here and that there's natural flavorings and so on down the line. All the rest of that stuff can be GMO, it can be pesticides, it can have all kinds of other stuff. The deceptive part of it was when I told you the truth. Remember the other day I told you that to deceive you I have to tell you the truth. Because if I lied to you 100% of the time, you'd always know the truth. And if I told you the truth 100% of the time, you would always know the truth. To deceive you, I have to tell you the truth and mix it with lies. And that's precisely what happens on labeling. But you can read through the lies with a little practice. And so let's take a look at a little practice here. You look at the label. And the label says, the first ingredient, and they always list the ingredients by the amount that's in it. For instance, the very first ingredient says water. Okay? Then that tells you that of all of the ingredients that's in this product, the ingredient that is the greatest percentage in this product is water. Then the next product will say meat. Okay, well, then that means that there's more water in this product than there is meat. All right, then as you go down the list over here, it says maybe 100% organic soybean meal. Okay, so we know now that this is 100% organic soybean, and from that we, our brains, just kind of chime in and say, oh, this product is 100% organic. Now, remember the first item was water. There's nothing organic about water. The second ingredient in here was meat, and it's nothing in here that says that that meat is organic. Hell, that meat may be DDT infected or contaminated. It may have mad cow disease and be from Great Britain. You don't know that. But this much we know, that the soybean meal that's used in here is 100% organic. Oh, okay, that's a step in the right direction. But don't be deceived into believing that this is an organic product. If it doesn't say organic on the label, if it doesn't say certified organic, then some of the ingredients may be organic, some of them may be certified organic, but many of the products may be something else, and they're not organic. So tuck that one away in your heart. It's a contest between you and the Heinz and General Mills and General Electrics. Can Madison Avenue advertising agencies write up the advertising copy and make it truthful enough to pass a fraud test in case they get sued, but yet be deceptive enough or deliberately withhold information so that you will buy the product, even though if you knew what this product contained, you wouldn't buy it? That's the trick. What what Madison Avenue is doing is convincing you that you should buy this product, even though if you really knew the truth about this product, you wouldn't buy it. So the job for you is to look behind Madison Avenue ad claims, look behind the labels, so that you can read MSG, even though it's called hydrolyzed protein. And typically, when the list of ingredients, you know, gets into words that you can't pronounce, you ought to leave it alone. It isn't fit to eat. Just leave it alone. When it gets to words that you can't pronounce, leave it alone. And those of you that are able to pronounce those words should be smart enough to know what the hell you're eating, shouldn't you? And those of us that are just country boys, and when we can't pronounce it, that means that that ain't fit for man or beast. And if you can read it, that means that you went to college and you're smart enough to know what that word means, and so therefore you're smart enough not to eat it because you know what the hell's in it. And this country, boys who don't know what the words mean, know that we ought not to eat it because we can't pronounce the words. And any word that you can't pronounce must contain something that you ought not to eat. You just follow that advice and you can't go wrong. All right, now according to new FDA rule, this means that no genetically modified foods. The Wall Street Journal decided to challenge this GMO-free labeling by testing 20 products labeling that claim. All right, so the Wall Street Journal went out and they challenged 20 GMO-free labeling. So it looks on the package and it says GMO-free. Remember I covered that? GMO-free. Now, generally speaking, if they say GMO-free, there won't be any GMOs in it. Now, you if you're putting GMOs in your product, you don't have to label it. You do not have to say this product contains GMOs. You know, that's thanks to the lobbying and thanks to Congress. Because they know that if it said GMO soybeans, GMO corn, that you wouldn't buy it. So they went to the legislature, and the legislature gave them the same kind of legislation that they gave to the honey producers or the honey manufacturers, not the producers. The producer produces 100% pure honey. Then when it goes to the manufacturing plant to be bottled and packaged, they put in the 49% corn syrup and then call it pure Sioux Bee honey. They lie to you. It's not true. It isn't pure honey. It isn't 100% honey. But they in the legislature, and remember, the legislature is made up of lawyers. The legislature is made up of lawyers. And lawyers are liars by definition. Lawyers are condemned throughout the Bible. In Luke 11, verses 37 through 54, there's a section in there. Write that down. Luke 11. Luke, you know, the second book of the New Testament, the book of Luke, the Gospel, Luke, chapter 11. Start in verse 37 to tell you about preachers. And then a little further on, tell you about bankers. God never had a good word for a preacher or a banker. Never had a good word for a lawyer, either. And that talks about the preachers and lawyers in there. Listen to what God has to say about those lawyers. Well, the guys that make these laws in the legislatures, most of them are lawyers. Not all, but most. And they've got a real gift for lying. They'll write out a paragraph, and then you'll read that paragraph, and that paragraph is filled with lies and deceptions. And these are the guys that are making the laws. So when you see a can and it says GMO-free, well, along comes the Wall Street Journal. They tested 20 products making that claim, And one product test showed 40% of the soybean DNA in a veggie bacon came from genetically modified plants. Soyinfo.com. And if you want to go to that, just go to soyinfo, that's all one word, soyinfo.com. 10 reasons why GMOs will not ensure food security. Now, this often leads to misleading information about the product on the label. From dying to look good, the disturbing truth about what's really in your cosmetics, toiletries, and personal care products by Christine Hazafero, D.C. Must be a doctor of chiropractic. Now, there are harmful ingredients in shampoos and cosmetics. Ecomol, harmful ingredients in personal care products. When it comes to soaps and shampoos, almost every product out there labeled organic is not organic, said Ronnie Cummings. He's the executive director of the Organic Consumers Association. The United States Department of Agriculture, which regulates organic food labeling, has neither standards nor the authority to regulate labels on personal care products. So you go into the health food store and you look at this shampoo or hair conditioner and it's got organic written on the label. Well, listen, the lawyers who are representing the company that made that, they looked into the law and found that there are no standards for personal care products. So we can put natural, we can put organic, we can put GMO-free on these labels, and you can't sue us for that. There are no standards. So we, that's you and me, we are induced to buy the shampoo, hair conditioner, or personal care cosmetics, even though it has nothing to do with organic. Not that organic shampoo is important one way or the other, but, you know, we would like to think that they're telling us the truth. Well, forget that. They're lying to you. And that's because the legal staff at the company wrote the copy for the ad company in New York, the Madison Avenue ad company. Now, the New York Times reported that, is organic shampoo chemistry or botany? Restoring health to health foods, excess food packaging is one of Green Star's founding concerns. Recycled soy milk containers are taken to the Tompkins County Recycling Facility, then trucked to Philadelphia where they are hydropulped, paper part removed. And then the plastic and aluminum parts are trucked to New Jersey where they are burned in a waste-to-energy plant. Burning the plastic creates dioxin, which causes birth defects and cancer downwind. Here are over-packaging details. As well, food packaging may contain carcinogens. No dolphin-safe tuna due to weakened purse sign standards, and at least 6-10% of eastern spinner dolphin mortality. You know, they're getting into some politics here, but I'm just pointing out to you that just because the label says it's dolphin-free doesn't mean that they didn't kill 15 dolphins when they hauled in this catch. Okay? All right, we'll be back tomorrow with more on this thing of poison in our food supply when we come back next time. Meanwhile, let me leave you with this reminder. You've been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week, 365 days a year, 12 months a year, here in the United States, and we're heard same time, 365 days a year, year-round, 7 days a week, worldwide over the Internet. For more information about the Law School and Law Hour, please go to our website. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the Law Hour brings you timely reports on law, science, economics, education, politics, religion, news, and current events 7 days a week. The Law Hour is carried worldwide over the Internet. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. I've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station, God willing, of course. So until then, good night, friends.